And now, our guest speaker on today's broadcast, Mr. E.W. Rogers of London, England.
I noticed when Mr. Moffat was speaking to you that he remarked, "If any of you desire to be saved, you should write to the Family Bible Hour." Did you notice that word, saved? It reminds me of a text in the New Testament which reads as follows, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The name alluded to in that verse, which incidentally is to be found in the 4th chapter of the book of the Acts, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived a perfectly sinless life, who died a cruel death on the cross of Calvary, who was raised again the third day, and is now set down at the right hand of God in heaven. There are quite a number of people who imagine that they can be saved by this means or that means, and they will choose whoever they fancy. For example, there are some people who imagine that great religious leaders of the world can save them. But Peter is very emphatic. He says there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby we must be saved. My mind goes to a certain man of whom we read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 9. This man was born blind. Now, some time ago, I was speaking to an eye specialist, a very high-up surgeon in the world, and I asked him whether he thought that it was possible for anyone who was born blind to receive his sight. He admitted that the profession to which he was joined had no means whatsoever of imparting sight to a man that was born blind. But were you to read the 9th chapter of John, you would see that the Lord Jesus did what nobody else could do. Indeed, in one of the chapters of John's Gospel, the question is asked, was it ever heard that a man born blind received his sight? It was a thing unknown amongst men. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can give poor blind sinners their sight. I wonder if you realize, my dear friends, that you have been born blind. You cannot see where you are going. You do not know the destiny that lies ahead of you. I am quite sure if you did, you would seek the Savior and want to receive your sight so that you would be assured that when death comes, you would depart to be with Christ in heaven, which is very far better than living on earth. Then my mind goes to another case of which we read in our New Testament. It is to be found in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. It relates this time to a woman. The other that I spoke to you of was a man who was born blind. But this relates to a woman who had a very serious malady, which malady would have put her quickly in her grave had it not been that she came into contact with the Lord Jesus. She had tried this physician and that physician, and in so doing had impoverished herself. Indeed, she had spent all that she had, and she had paupered herself in trying to be saved from her trouble. But none of the physicians could possibly help her. It seemed to be, in their eyes, an incurable trouble. They rather, on the other hand, made her worse. For in dealing with the trouble with the best of motives, they aggravated it, and she became more seriously ill. But on one occasion, the Lord Jesus was passing by in a crowd, and she said, "Now is my chance. I am not missing this opportunity. I may not have another opportunity. Therefore, I am going to seize this one. She pushed her way, therefore, through the crowd, not minding the taunts and the scoffs of the people in that crowd, and she got into close contact with the Lord Jesus, laid hold of the hem of his garment, and instantly she realized that she had been made whole from her trouble. She had been saved. She got out of the crowd, and the Lord Jesus asked his disciples as to who it was who touched him. The answer they gave was this: fancy asking such a question. There's a whole crowd of people around you, and they are pressing upon you, and yet you are asking, who touched me? Ah, said the Lord Jesus, I know someone has touched me. Someone by faith has laid hold upon me. They have seized hold upon the fact that I have come from heaven to save poor sin-sick souls. Who is it? And the woman was discovered, and she came and told the Lord Jesus all the truth. I was a poor, sinful woman. I was diseased with a disease that was going to take me down to the grave. Nobody could possibly help me. I expended all my money in trying to find people who could help me, and they only made me worse. Then when you came by, I took the opportunity. I laid hold of you, and I have been made whole. The Lord Jesus in reply said, O woman, great is thy faith. Go into peace. This trouble will never worry you any more. So you see, I may be speaking to some men, and if that is the case, you men can take encouragement from the blind man of John chapter 9. Nobody could give him his sight, and no one can put sinful men right but the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as he gave that blind man his sight, so he can give you your spiritual sight, and can save your soul, and give you a happiness of heart, because you will know where you are going. And I may be speaking to some women. And you, dear women, may feel that you are just in the sorry plight of this woman who had the issue of blood, that you are suffering from a trouble. The trouble is the trouble of sin, and that trouble will not only land you in the grave, it will land you in a lost eternity. Well, be like the woman. Seize the opportunity. Lay hold of the Lord Jesus by faith, and then he will save you as he saved her. But I can quite well imagine that there are some children who are listening in to me, and it would be altogether incomplete were I not to give them something. Therefore I want for a few minutes to talk to you about a very bad boy. He worried his parents exceedingly. If you want to read more about it, turn to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The boy used to stay out at nights. He used to spend the dark night in the cemetery. Oftentimes he became so wild that he came home later on, bruised and torn and wounded, for he would knock his head against the tombstones. On one occasion he threw himself in the fire. On another occasion, he threw himself into the water. He almost drove his parents to their wits' end. The mother was worried, and the father was distressed. Both of them went to the scribes and the Pharisees to ask if they could possibly help, but the answer was they could do nothing. This was altogether a too bad case for their help. Then they went to the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and they asked them if they could do something. The answer they gave was of a similar character. No, they couldn't possibly help these parents or put the boy right. Then they came to the Lord Jesus. The father came. And the father said to the Lord Jesus, if thou canst do, and the Lord Jesus cut him short and said, what was that you said? If thou canst. Fancy saying, if thou canst to me. Why, all things are possible to him that believeth. How long has this trouble been going on? The father said, "Oh, from babyhood he was born like it, born in his trouble. Bring him to me." And the father brought the boy to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus put the boy perfectly whole and saved him. You see, my dear friends, Peter was quite correct. There's salvation in no other. If it be poor men who have been born blind through sin, if it be poor women who are diseased by sin, or if it be children who are ruined by sin, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can possibly save. Why don't you let him save you? As you are listening to me this morning, say, "Lord Jesus, I want to see where I'm going. I want to be made whole. I want to be put right. Save me, Lord Jesus." And if you were to say that, you would find he would do it. I trust you will do that, and it will do you good.